So, Father, we just thank you that we can come together. Whoa, I got some power happening here. Thank you, Lord, that you can give me a voice to speak your words, your life, your abundance into our lives, Lord, together, that we could hear together, Father, that we could hear your life in us, that it wells up, Lord, that you have purposed in us to live here and grow and be strengthened and see you every day more and more as that day draws near, our paths being made clear. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you that we would hear your voice. I pray that I would hear your voice right now, your spirit in me, Lord. What I've prepared, Lord, is meaningless if it's not what you're saying. So today, Father, stir my heart that our hearts together might be lifted up and see you, Jesus, Father. We thank you for this moment. We thank you that you breathe into us, that you've created us to be the temple where you dwell, where the Holy Spirit can dwell. We thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm already undone. Whoever had this number, you win. Oh, my goodness. So, we're going to continue with Grace 101, and this is part five that we've come to, and I don't want to minimize the other guys before me, but you know, number of grace is five, and I just wanted to say, I'm just saying. Oh, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm innocent. Sorry, guys. I had no choice. I had no choice. Anyway, so what I would love to paint for you is a picture here today. I'm kind of preach a little differently. I fire out a whole pile of thoughts and then I try to sew them all together at the end. So bear with me and retain some of what I'm saying. And also, and you've heard me say this before, when I don't know where to start, I start at the beginning. And it's important for me because I think the foundations for all of what we're talking about are found in the beginning of how this purposeful plan of God's for us to live was laid out. Now, Mark, when he got up and prayed, I just about fell over. And he was talking about light and darkness. Because the basis of where I'm going to be going, is going to be light and darkness. But I want to talk about some of these things. I want to bring in some of these scriptures. Again, I could have plastered 1,000 scriptures up there, and I had to peel them back. But what I want to talk about here is some foundational stuff so that we can get a picture of grace and what it means to us. This light and darkness is so important. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I told you I was going to begin at the beginning, right? The earth was formless and void, and was darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called that the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and the morning was the first day. It wasn't the sun, moon, and stars that he created. They were created on the fourth day for signs, seasons, years, and days. Right? We saw this big ball of light. He separated something here. He created light and darkness. Now, what I'm going to be presenting up here, I want to talk in perspective of what we perceive or say, because I could have put God and Jesus and all those things up there, but I'm trying to, in a little bit, what Mark was saying here and Paul was praying, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. But I want to talk about us as a way to see Jesus. So what I'm going to talk on here is a little bit us, but the reason we talk about us is so that we can see Jesus in all of this. So we get this light and darkness. And I should probably follow it. God is light. I'm going to read these scriptures, and hopefully I can get through, because I was going to read more than there, but I just posted those things up there for simplicity's sake. So John starts out his first epistle. It was, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, I'm starting at verse 1, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So John is about to expose to us what they had seen of the beginning image that we just talked about. He's going to say, this is the foundation, the word of life, and then he's going to qualify a little bit here. He's going to say, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. All things are from God, and for Him they exist. All things were by Jesus Christ, and through them they exist. The Word, when God said, let there be light, who was that? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. So then we move on. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you so that your joy may be made complete or full. Who do we have fellowship with? God, Jesus, and us. And our joy and fullness is in that. But God, He says, God is light. Light and darkness in the beginning. Not sun, moon, and stars. Fourth day. After the plants were made and earth and plants. It's going to be, I planted a garden in the water and it, no, didn't work out that way. Hold that thought. Luke 18:18. I can find it. I'm blind. Jesus, talking to a rich young ruler. A ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit life? And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. So we see if God is good and God is light, we've created something here that's taking place. So you've got good and evil. So is darkness evil? Does God create evil? The big question is, did God create evil? He created the serpent, who was the craftiest animal in all the world, but did He create evil? Or is that God is good and darkness is if we live in darkness, we bring evil with us. The darkness isn't evil. It's where we dwell. But why did He put this in place in the first place? Free will. God has given us the free will. And if there's nowhere to go, if there's nowhere to look, how can we work this out? And this is important to grace. This is very important to grace than the grace model that we live under. We have to understand, God is not evil. God is good. But He made light and darkness so that we in free will could make decision for Him to dwell in good or in evil. We'll move on to some other scriptures here. Will help us get it. Matthew 6. Sorry, I have to use the cheater up there. I don't have one of them fancy iPads or computers things. I have little scraps of paper. Sorry. Oh, where was I? 18:18, right? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm not even close. Okay. I'm going to start at verse 19. Do not store up for yourself. So Jesus is in the middle of the Beatitudes. He's brought the Beatitudes, and so He started Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew. And in the midst of this, He's starting to expound on it, and we're moving on this whole Sermon on the Mount. It's part of this. And He says, by verse 19, He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where the thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. I want you to understand. Number one, we got this heart thing. Where is our heart? In heavenly things? Is it in darkness or is it in light? The eye is a lamp to the body. So then, if your eye is clear, and that word there is healthy. I'm reading the NSAB if you're interested, but I mean, like in the King James, it says if your eye is clear or healthy. The sense of it is if you have a healthy eye, if you are visioning properly, if your eye, the lamp of your body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of. But if your eye is bad, King James says evil. Evil, right? So He's talking about, again, it's not darkness is evil. It's if our hearts are evil. And we live in darkness and not in the light where God is good. If your eye is bad or evil, your body will be full of darkness. And then this is the bizarrest, one of the bizarrest lines I've ever saw, but it makes so much sense when I realize that darkness is not the evil. It says, if that light is in you, is darkness. If that light that is in you is darkness. In other words, how you live. The life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, it says in John 1. But if the darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will devote to one and despise the other. You cannot serve this. Darkness, not evil. Living in darkness, evil. Free will, decision to live in darkness or to live in light. John 12. So Jesus is foretelling of his death. He's talking about the method he was going to be raised up on the cross. And then the question was, because the children of Israel, they were listening to him and saying, hey, Lord, the Christ is supposed to come and live forever. Right? He's not supposed to come and leave us and abandon us here and leave us on this earth unless he was saying, I can do this so you can have free will to make decisions. They wanted to be lifted up and taken on this ride where Jesus does all this, or the Messiah does all this, and we can just trail along and keep doing what we're doing. But God had different plans, because he was trying to get to something. He was trying to get to our free will decision. He was trying to get the clarity between light and dark, where we can live and have free will. So then they said to him, the crowd then answered, we have heard out of the law that Christ is to remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become the sons of light. It seems so clear and evident, but it's overwhelming to think that we can end up in this. Back to the garden. What was it? Reference 9, right? Did I get that right? Okay, so in the garden, God creates the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Remember, he planted it. It's the only thing we're not supposed to eat of. Well, I'll get to that. So God, out of the ground, the Lord causes to grow. This is verse 9, chapter 2 of Genesis. Every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, which is all worth a preach on its own. I mean, like every one of these, I'm trying to not do this, right? But this is the incredible truth. It's good for food. It's pleasing to the sight. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? And then by verse 19, he says, out of the ground God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to man. Am I reading in the right place? Oh, yeah, I'm blind. That's why. Good, you're paying attention. I need a little backup mirror thing here, right? So, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat, you will surely die. Now, we could look at that and say, oh, God was judging us and pounding us on the head, and he was beating us down because we were bad, and that's what God does. God's there to make sure that we're not bad. Or we could grasp the concept that when we ate of that, we didn't know the difference between good and evil. We have a knowledge of it now. The knowledge of good and evil. We chose to live in darkness and brought evil, and we died. Not because he punished us, but we chose this. Paradigm follows. Next slide, please, Swatna. All of a sudden, we're out of the garden and we get this paradigm. And this is why I'm trying to do this model. It's a little difficult for me to focus like this. These guys know me. I tend to go wow, like this, so I'm really trying to focus. But But what I saw happen here is we have this heavenly realm, this earthly realm, and an eternal realm. And we have to begin to understand that the package for us is in the eternal realm. There is resurrection from the dead, and there is eternal judgment. And that always overshadows all of what we do. And it's based on our decision where we live, in the light or in the darkness. And I saw something that come up that really kind of confused me in terms of what iniquity and faith and all these things happen. But if we look at faith in Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the things hoped for, the substance of things unseen. Oh, look at this. I've even got someone. Look at that. Those people were in the way. They chose by their will. I could have put God's will, our will, whatever. But I want to talk about in the way, in a sense, again, because I'm trying to envision us. So they were chose by faith. So righteousness for Abraham had no rules, had nothing. It was counted to him because he had faith in God, Father of faith, which is by, and the promise to him was in his seed, which was Jesus Christ ultimately, that we would bless all nations. So the Father of faith that we walk in, the faith that we operate in, is that from Abraham till Jesus Christ being raised and put at the right hand of God in heaven was the faith paradigm that we live under. And everything poured into that. We're pointing towards Jesus Christ. They were in the way. So when we read in Hebrews 11, we see all the cloud of witnesses that we have that so greatly surround us. You look at what they do. It says, hey, oh, we're victorious, we're glorious, we did all these things. Oh, cut and sunder, not so good, you know, beaten, abused. It wasn't about what you were getting out of this temporal world. Because they're thinking, we've got to think about this. If this is a time and distance, the earthly realm is a time and distance existence, we are more than just time and distance existence people. We are spirit, soul, body, and mind. The spirit is in the heavenly realm. The mind connects that soul and body with it to this earthly realm. And in that mind and in the spirit that we have, we see faith to do His will. Or iniquity, because there was no sin in the garden. So it wasn't sin that pulled us down. It was self-will, which is iniquity. And what's it say in Isaiah 53? Every man going his own way. The iniquity of all of us fell on Jesus Christ. So I'm building this paradigm. So we have this being that we live in that covers time and distance world that we live in and moves us also into the heavenly realms where we have connection with a choice to make good and evil, a decision in the light and the darkness and how we exist and live. Righteousness came by faith to Abraham. Righteousness got us resurrection from the dead and the promise of Jesus Christ eternally. Okay, next slide, please. Grace. Oh, here we go. I'm just getting started here. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to. This is like a month-long teaching in a course, and I'm trying to compress it. So, please, I hope God let me not confuse your people. Seriously, I'm hoping this helps a little bit, right? So I'm actually going to pick it up a little bit here from chapter 13, starting at verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the goodness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Where is the truth? It's in Jesus Christ. He is truth, right? So what we see is there's something going on in our hearts, and it's wisdom, and we're looking for it. But the wisdom that is, the wisdom that does not come down from above is earthly, and it says natural in my version, but it actually means unspiritual, is earthly, it's unnatural in spirit, and ultimately demonic. What did Jesus say to Peter when he said, you savor the things of earth, not the things of God? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Our thinking, when he said, I'm pitched over here on the earth side, I'm pitched over here, I'm concerned about these things. He says the wisdom that's from above is not from above, is earthly, unspiritual, and ultimately demonic. Because we buy into the devil who laid a foundation of a lie at the beginning that, oh, God doesn't want you to be like him. That wasn't... He's so crafty. Oh, he is so crafty. You think about it. When we think about it, then we start saying, okay, God doesn't want us to be like him. We start backing away from that. God wants us to be like him. But in his purpose, by choosing the light and the good, not going to darkness and doing it on our will, he had a plan to unpackage it. He put it in the garden and said, tend it, take care of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I think he wanted us to have it because he is working on mature, as Susan said, mature sons and daughters when she was preaching, as we would for our own children. So we see this wisdom that's earthly, unnatural, unspiritual, sorry, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, you can just remember those words, jealousy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil thing. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness, we want to live in righteousness, is sown in peace by those who make peace. Chapter 4, James. What is the source of your quarrels and your conflicts among you? Coming off of this, like, where is your heart at? He says, what is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? Again, for the natural things of the earth. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. He's talking, I mean, Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, right? And he's using this here as a hyperbole to describe just the very fact of where our hearts are at. Because remember, our hearts, where your treasure is, your heart is there. And we see our minds and we see our spirits connecting with heaven and our souls and bodies here and all one, but it all crosses across those borders. You ask and do not receive because, verse 3, you ask the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. And he says, you adulteresses. You do not know the friendship with the world is hostility towards God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously, this is God, this is what he wanted from the beginning. He jealously. Envy, we talked about earlier, talked about envy, right? Somewhere up there you envy each other. Envy is greed. Jealousy is out of love. They're not really synonymous, right? There's a passion in God's heart, he says, that jealousy jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but gives greater grace to overcome this. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God has opposed the proud. I'm going to say something, go out on a limb here a little bit. These guys can correct your theology later on, but this is where I'm going to live. I don't think this world spins around because God says, here's grace, and you guys do what you want. I think he has grace for the humble. He says he opposes the proud. He opposes the proud. He puts up a resistance. I mean, there's plenty of scripture to describe that. I mean, he even sends strong delusion that they believe a lie because they have no love of the truth. He opposes the proud. This ball spins around because he gives grace to the humble. And I want to show something that's coming up here. Let's just go to the next slide because I'm going to dwindle. Okay. So grace. So what happens under the other slide? We saw that it was under the Abraham, there was nothing going on. Here now we see in this one, the earthly realm, we see righteousness put here because the law of Moses came in. And by the law of Moses, we had righteousness because we repented, which means, what's Mark's favorite word? Metanoia, right? Okay, so we turn away from sin and we have something to go to. We have something that God has said, look, do these sacrifices, do these things, and you will be righteous, which takes us into faith, which takes us up into good, and aren't I great? And then we saw that sin was exceedingly sinful, in that what happened is up in the heavenlies here, where our faith and iniquity or self-will, just like in the garden where there was no sin, right? So we've got this sin thing, it's dealt with. We see that faith and iniquity, it was still a problem, because by the time Jesus came, the very people that were performing the acts of things to make us righteous under the law were making iniquitous decisions and living in darkness because they were using it to consume it upon their own lusts. They were calling it into their lives so they could have comfort and all the things that they wanted out of the religious repentance, as it were. And he said, you guys are missing because it's the heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The issues are of the heart. And that heart touches us. Jesus came. Righteousness was raised up to heaven with God. And when we look up there, sin has no power because our righteousness is seated at the right hand of God in the light, in goodness, and you cannot, there's nothing here. Sin has no power over us anymore. When we look to Jesus who is seated at the right hand of God because He is our righteousness, He has filled us and changed us. This model here puts us in. But what does Jesus do? He comes along. He's the Son of God. Come to earth. Okay, I'm just looking at the clock and thinking, wow. God gives grace to the humble. Why I put humble now turns us away from iniquity. It's because Jesus came. When you look at the four Gospels of the Bible, I'm going to do it anyway. Four Gospels of the Bible, they're kind of broken down into, because of Book of Revelation and the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about there were four living creatures that had, one was the face of a lion, one was the face of an ox, one was the face of a man, one was the face of an eagle. And you can kind of see a sense in this that there is a royal calling in the lion. It talks about his royalty, his right. He says, you wear blue, you wear blue. That's what the king does. But he also came as an ox, a bondservant, not a servant. A bondservant, by choice, Jesus Christ chose to serve God. Have this mind that was in Christ Jesus, that when he was found in the form of God, he didn't think it was something to grasp that iniquity, but he said, I believe you, God. Right? Said, he had this thought in his head. He emptied himself in total humility. Emptied himself. And took on the form of a bondservant. And being found in the fashion as a man, we're bondservants. Just like Jesus, we have a choice. Bondservants. He humbled himself again and became obedient unto death so that he could be our righteousness seated at the right hand of God in the light because God is good. So we see this humbleness that comes in. So in the four Gospels, you'll see that Mark kind of reflects the kingship, the royal lion, the ox would be Mark. Because and Luke the man and John the eagle, because that's kind of a spiritual thing. But when you look at the royal kinghood and the and man, Luke, when it says he went into the wilderness, it said he was led by the Spirit. In Mark, it says he was driven by the Spirit. Because that passion to be a bondservant tied to God said, I will do your will. In the volume of the book, it's written to me, lo, I come to do thy will. I delight in thy law. This is the heart of Jesus, that he came, and he came in total humility. So when we see in the Gospel of Matthew, the king perspective, he's driven in the wilderness, comes out, he skips past all the spiritual stuff that's in John in the beginning in Capernaum, and cuts straight into the Beatitudes. He starts out with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Mourn for what? What was lost? What was God's and has been stolen? What adulterous is adulterous? What we have gone? He's mourned because we've gone to darkness. Blessed are those who mourn because they shall be comforted. We're starting to see us turning away from iniquity. Grace is for the humble. Blessed are the meek. For they shall inherit the earth. Again, I come back to that. This is my evidence of why I say grace is for the humble. And the reason we have this little ball spinning around is God has given us an opportunity to work out our grace, the grace that's in our lives. Because grace surrounds all this. But we've inherited the earth, people. And with that came responsibility. With that came a cause. With that came a purpose. We have inherited the earth. We're not waiting. We keep it going. God is saying, I'm going to keep it. In Revelation, it says that, you know, how long, God, are you going to wait to bring justice on these people? And he says, hold the phone, guys. Just chill. Wait until the rest that I'm calling come in. Real people. That's a Washington paraphrase, just by the way. Wait till the rest whom I have, I'm waiting on. You wait with me until they come in. Because they need to be slain. Just as you were, guys. But his heart is for us. Blessed are when you hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake. Wabam. Where are we? Only way to that is turn away from iniquity, go to faith. I only do those things which I see my Father in heaven do. Faith. The way. Iniquity. Self-will. Humble, we have this. Blessed are the merciful, so they shall obtain mercy. Again, is there anything that says iniquity in that? You lust and have not because you use it upon your own passions. Or, I'm over here. Blessed are the merciful. I want you to be lifted up. I want you to be strengthened. I want life in you. Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. Ba-boom! I'm sorry. This just blows my mind. Blessed are the peacemakers. What did we read in James? The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace and them that make peace. Sorry, I've had a really long weekend. I'm just flying here. Everything in humility. Everything turns us away from this. Just go to the next slide. Grace. What is the purposefulness of grace? It is so... Yeah, I have a problem with this. I have a problem with grace. Because we defined it, and Kevin talked about it, and I thought, Kevin's, man, you want to hear the message? Rocked it last week, man. I tell you, this should have come, and then that should have come. I'm just trying to paint a picture of grace isn't an optional thing. Grace has purpose. We say unmerited, God's unmerited favor. We define it and we go, oh, it's God's unmerited favor. That is not what grace is. That's be like saying, I got a car. Let's drive to Florida. Well, let's not drive to Florida now. In wintertime. Go to the wintertime. Go to a cold place with me, right? And it's got no engine in it. And we jump into the car and go, hey, come on. Like, hey, you're going nowhere because God's unmerited favor is nothing without the power that's operated in grace to move us forward with a purpose. And that is facing God. So I've come up with a little bullet that hopefully, I mean, I have just dropped. This is, I've hopefully cleaned it up enough so it's not as confusing to you as it is to me. But Grace, let's drop this up. I've got a little pill for us to take here. Can you just click it one more time, Schwabner? All that work on my... Oh, no, I can't believe it. This is my favorite slide. I'd learned how to do all this automation in the PowerPoint. I was really going for it. At the bridge, we connect all people. Oh. Hey, guys, what do you think? Check it out. Look at that. I want to say it's God's unmerited favor for the heart that is repentant. You remember that last slide where I left repentance just kind of a little shadowed out. There's still repentance. You know, in Hebrews it says, you know, like there's no repentance left for someone if they deny Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is sitting at the hand of God. That actually brings a lot of clarity to that Hebrew scripture when people start freaking out and saying, hey, you know, like we're eternally saved. No, if you deny Jesus Christ on earth, there's nothing left for you to repent to, because it's in heaven. It's Jesus only. But there is a sense, if we fall away from God, we fall down and we're in the sinner's life, we still have the ability to repent from our sin and turn and face God and get back. Problem is, when we deny Jesus Christ, there is no other repentance left for us. God has not provided that. It was under the law of Moses, and then it moved to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So God's repentance, we repent to get a humble heart, so that we can walk as He had, so that we can ace this race. God is looking for mature sons and daughters. God is allowing us. Grace is the period in this time and distance world where God says, live. Just like He did in the garden, He said, look, tend the garden. Just don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't do that. He has put us in this garden, but we have the knowledge of good and evil now. We can't get rid of that. But now what we have is the ability to say, I am going to decide between light and darkness, iniquity, my self-will. That's why in Mark quoted, I'm laughing. Mark quoted Matthew 7:21 the other day when it says, the sad part is he quoted how I normally say it, right? I say it too much. I apologize, Mark. He was saying in Matthew 7:21, he said, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name. And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Iniquity. And I go, how is that possible? Until I realized, what is that? Until I realized, light and darkness, choosing the maturity that what we're called to here is to grow as sons and daughters, to move to the light where God is good, where Christ is righteousness, and he is there, and that is the avenue through, because God said, have faith in my son, Jesus Christ, and you have access to me in the light and God. And we continually turn. So we as individuals have this time to continually turn to Jesus Christ. So can you bring up the last scripture? Oh, there was one missing off that slide. There was another. And if it doesn't come up, you know, you make these things. She's not, sorry, Swapna. Swapna's just going to come up here and pound me. Is it coming up? Because I'm trying to remember where it was. I know where it was. I got it. Hebrews, end of Hebrews 5. It actually was part of the automation as well. Hey, yay, got it right. Hebrews 5. So, Hebrews, incredible book. Talking about the superiority of Christ and the sufficiency of who he was. It's a handbook to all the Gospels. If you want to understand the Gospels, read Hebrews. If you want to understand Hebrews, read the Gospels. And they just keep pouring it in. But he talks about how Christ was superior. The last final word in the prophetic saying, he is the answer. He was the final prophetic. He was greater than the angels because he was the Son. Not a bondservant, minister of flaming fire. He was greater than Moses because he is the builder of the house, not just the caretaker of the house. He's greater than Aaron. He was greater than the covenant. He was greater than the sacrifice. He was greater than something else, can't remember. He was also greater than Abraham in that he was called into Moses, I mean, if you put it all together. Because he was not only greater, he was not only superior. I love the language of that better. He is not only superior, he was sufficient to meet God's needs. So in the midst of that, we see this Hebrews 5. And he says, behold, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I just wanted to say, this grace, when we consider it, we need to grab hold of, it's not just God's unmerited favor. It's for us to ace this race, that we can become mature sons and daughters in Christ together. And that it is not by the building up of me, because that's not how Christ did it. It's not the building up of self. It is when we look to Jesus Christ in the humility of heart, we build each other up. This body of Christ, which we are the body of Jesus Christ, and he is the head who fills this body, fills all in all. And we need to strengthen one another, that we will be those lights, as even we were praying this morning, that we would be the light on this earth that will bring in those final sons and daughters that God is waiting, desperately pleading for, who he wants to pour his life into, who he wants jealously desires the Spirit to dwell in. That he loved them so much, he sent his Son, who emptied himself and died a horrible death. There was a contradiction of sinners against himself, in that he was not a sinner, and yet they rallied against him so much, they put him in a position that he became sin, because that was not the spirit of holiness. It was about the heart. It's about, I come to do thy will. He came in the humility and humbleness of heart. Grace is for the humble. Where is your heart today? Do we have... That's me. I'm done. Maybe we can have the worship team come in. No, that's kind of self-serving, right? Worship team. Is the worship team here? That includes you, Paul. You're part of the worship team today. You know, these rudimentary guys, you know, like newbies. I'm just going to pray while they're coming up. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you've given us life, and that we can see grace for what it truly is, as a vehicle and a passage for us to grow in you, that you would be delighted with us, that when we come to you in eternity, that you will be saying, well done thou good and faithful servants, that we would be full of the joy and the life in this, that our joy would be full in this life because we perceive these things. You said your will for us, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. So we come to you, Lord, in the humility of heart that we can walk in the light. We can know your goodness and we can be filled up and we can feel the power of your grace work in us and see the benefits of what happens when we go out and just speak the word as we just, that man fell over in the balcony, Lord. We want to speak life in Jesus and see people fall over because they hear you created us to respond to you, O God. And those hearts that will respond, O God, we pray that we would be that light, that the humility in us would spread that light and the power of God in every aspect of our lives, from signs and wonders to just living our days, but we would rejoice for the fact that you have given it to us. We would call on you for every moment that we have, and we would be thankful for everything in Christ that he has accomplished. Amen.